obviously don't use that in the recording because we want to keep the audience.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Bayern Munich are making progress with their summer transfer plans, but according to various reports, the Bavarians' latest offer for their prime target, Sadio Mane, was nowhere near what his current club, Liverpool, are willing to accept. Today, we'll give our thoughts on the club's approach to signing Mane, specifically looking at Hasan Salihamidžić, and talk about whether or not this transfer window will prove make or break for the Bayern sporting director. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm joined by my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hi, everybody.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And last but not least, Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, not a whole lot going on in the world of Bayern Munich. I should say not a whole lot new going on in the world of Bayern Munich. There's still a lot of discussion about Robert Lewandowski and his future and him saying a lot of stuff about the club that you may or may not would expect. And then, of course, Sadio Mane is still Bayern's number one target, but there have been some developments, at least with Mane, and according to various reports from the English media, Bayern kind of came in with a second low ball offer earlier this week, reportedly giving an offer that would have only reached 35 million euros if Bayern won the Champions League and Mane won the Ballon d'Or within the next 3 years. And so it was a pretty low offer at Liverpool. Felt insulted, according to some reports. You know, you can take those with a grain of salt. But felt insulted, according to some reports. But it does seem like things, at least for me, are heading in the right direction. But I want to start today by talking about that offer, talking about, I guess, the approach that Bayern is taking to signing Sadio Mane, who, by the way, remember, once out of Liverpool, is 30 years old and is entering into the final year of his contract. And so, Garrett, I'll start with you. What do you think of this, I guess, this updated offer from Bayern for Mane?
I guess on the one hand, you know, it is disappointing that, you know, you have to kind of go through this whole process of low ball offer, slightly less low ball, but still pretty low ball, and then just kind of work your way up to where everybody kind of expects it to go anyway. If you've ever bought a house, that is kind of how it feels as well, but you got to play the game because you don't want to end up, you know, putting in the offer you think it should go for in the end and end up paying more, but you know, what have you. I think the thing that I take from it, and I saw a tweet from Manuvet, and he had mentioned that it seems like it's pretty much public theatrics that Liverpool are, you know, just aghast at the offers that they're getting for Sadio Mane and all that. But because they're looking to buy that Darwin Nunez, and they're going to need to use the money from the Sadio Mane sale, it probably is going to happen. And so I don't worry about it too much. It's still really early. There's still plenty of time. I expect it to get done just based on the fact that that's where all the reports seem to be headed. It's just frustrating that we have to kind of go through this while we're trying to kind of see the end of other transfer sagas. So I'm not worried about it. I think that it'll end up getting done, and Sadio Mane will be a Bayern player based on what people who know more than me are saying. And so, yeah, it's frustrating, but it is what it is, I think, at this point.
Gotcha. Tim, do you think that there's a chance that playing this kind of low ball game with Liverpool could have detrimental effects for Bayern? Maybe, kind of ironically, going so low will only increase the price for Mane, make Liverpool more adamant that they're really not going to sell for a low price.
I think it's possible. Like, we've saw with Salihamidžić and the Hudson-Odoi drama many years ago, that he has a tendency to kind of like rub people the wrong way. So obviously, like, he's not the only person that's going to be involved in these discussions. There's going to be like a whole team of people involved, but he is primarily going to be the one at the front. And whether it's like, whether it's lowballing, whether it's, you know, being very public with statements in an effort to kind of like speed things up, you almost like you force their hand in a way. I can fully envisage it being a problem, if not for this one, like if not for this transfer, because as Garrett said, I actually agree with him. I actually agree with him as if I disagree with him on everything else. I agree with him on this. I do think that this Mane transfer is likely to go through. My worry is that difficulties here will lead to difficulties down the line, not just with Liverpool, but like with other teams, because, you know, you get that reputation. Like, okay, Salihamidžić is going to come to our office and he's going to want to buy X player. This is going to be an absolute nightmare. I do think that it's a great thing that I think Karl-Heinz Rummenigge was able to do, was he had a good, at least I believe anyway, he had a good relationship with loads of other different clubs. He had a great relationship with Real Madrid, which allowed transfers like the Xabi Alonso transfer to Bayern and the James loan as well. It allowed those things to go off really quite easily. I also know that he and Roy Hodgson are still very good friends. I'm not expecting anybody from Watford or any Crystal Palace players to come in, but I know that that's something that he's spoken about in the past. I think having somebody that is really diplomatic, but still, you know, still assertive enough to say, this is what we would like we are prepared to do this. I think that's so important because, you know, word gets round so easily. And the word around Salihamidžić at the moment is really, really not good. You know, the response from the fan base, from the Bayern fan base, is, I guess, like, not brilliant to say the very least. And I'm seeing that, okay, not amongst like other club officials, but certainly within other fan bases as well. People are really starting to not like Salihamidžić and the way that he approaches these transfers. So I do think that it is a problem. I do think, you know, you start low and then you work up, like you eventually find a middle ground. But, you know, there is a limit here.
Yeah. We'll talk more specifically about Salihamidžić in a minute, but on that idea of, I guess, establishing a good relationship with the club and using that for negotiations, I think, and we've talked about it on here before, I think that I really hope that the way we worked out a Thiago deal a couple of summers ago would have really helped us establish that relationship with Liverpool. And so, Sebastian, do you think that the deal, I say, you know, deal discount, whatever you want to call it, the deal that we gave them for Thiago a couple summers ago, who's in a very similar situation to what Mane is in right now, do you think that there's a chance that that still comes into play? And do you think that Liverpool are probably more likely to accept an offer less than the 50 million euros that the English reports are throwing around right now?
I think that's always a part of it. You cannot really take that out of the equation. I mean, everybody knows what happened, and so yeah, this would, even if nobody says a word about it, of course everybody knows, and that's just the background for everything that's happening. So I think that definitely plays a role there. And I mean, with all that, if you take all that together, right, you know that Liverpool is going to invest money in a new striker, which means that, well, Mane is even less likely to want to stay there. He clearly wants to come to Bayern. I think there's no real doubt about that anymore right now. And then we need him. I think it looks just too good to not happen. I don't know how this can actually fall apart anymore. It's just a question of how noisy does this whole process have to be. And I don't think it's helpful that all this went through the media now. I mean, the part that Mane wants to join and that Liverpool is open to discussion and so on. That's all fine, but I would have just liked if the things between the clubs, if that would just have stayed silent until it actually happens, because nobody really needs that, and I don't know why this is happening. Maybe Liverpool is like trying to put some pressure on Bayern through the media. I don't know. That's just a bit frustrating. But in the end, I think it will have to work out. And I think I really hope, I would say, that Hassan is now going to be a bit less cheeky there with his offers, because yeah, I mean, I can see if everything that has been reported is true, it's kind of a bit wild, if you will, to put significant money on winning the Champions League and the Ballon d'Or. That's just a bit weird there, and I hope we really cut that nonsense now and start doing proper business. And I think this will just have to get over the line pretty soon, I would say. And I think that those 40 million are probably where we're going to end up in some shape or form eventually. It's just a question of how much of that is going to be conditional on whatever, mm-hmm. or how much of that is going to be just fixed and guaranteed. Or, well, I think there's also some wiggle room here if we're talking about 50 million pounds or 40 million pounds, 40 million euros, because there also have been different different things in the media about that. But I think this is where we're going to settle eventually, and then everybody's going to be kind of happy, right? And I think that also is not necessarily a bad thing in the long run. I think people will not necessarily remember that one weird offer from Hassan. People will remember that this kind of went over pretty okay in the end, and everybody got what they wanted. And I don't think this is going to be very negative for us in the future.
Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts exactly, especially with the price. I think that, you know, 40 million pounds, euros, whatever it actually ends up being, I think is at least in the right ballpark. And like you said, whether that's more of a straight up fee or less conditional fees or the opposite is kind of, I think, what we're seeing, you know, kind of play out right now, what the negotiations are really about right now. Because you got to remember, both clubs have pretty strong incentives to get this deal over the line. With Liverpool, they want to bring in Darwin Nunez. They need a little bit of money to help fund that deal. Bayern, obviously, we have everything going on with Lewandowski. It helps if we already have at least part of his replacement taken care of before we decide to, you know, sell him or not sell him, or if Barcelona can scrape up enough money somehow to even afford half of what we're asking for him. And so I'm with you. I think that this deal will be done sooner rather than later, hopefully within the next couple weeks, so that way Bayern can really get to work on the other deals. But let's talk about Brazil. Let's talk about Salihamidzic for just a little bit, because I think this deal, this Mane deal, is all Brazo, right? It's from the very beginning been reported that he was Salihamidzic's target. He kind of pinned his reputation on signing Mane. He's the one that he wants. Of course, Nagelsmann signed off on it. But this is a Salihamidzic signing. And I think what happens, the way that this plays out, is going to reflect directly on him. And his name has obviously been a hot topic at Bayern, not only recently, but for, you know, the past couple seasons, really, I guess, since he took on this role of sporting director. And so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about him, specifically looking ahead to this summer. And so, Garrett, do you think that this summer, the deals, you know, with Robert Lewandowski, Sadio Mane, Serge Gnabry even, and some smaller players as well, do you think this is going to end up being a make-or-break summer for Hassan Salihamidzic at Bayern?
It's a little hard to say, because it feels like we've had a couple of those. But I guess in saying that, it makes it seem like, yes, this summer window is going to be big in terms of what happens with Salihamidzic going forward. Because if you think about some of the big signings that he's kind of been instrumental in, you have Lucas Hernandez and Leroy Sané, and both of those guys have been really good at times, fine at others, not so fine at others, and overall people are not feeling as good about those signings as maybe we would have hoped to, given how much was spent on those two players, for example. But this summer, especially when you have all these different issues going on with Lewandowski, with Gnabry, you have, I think, kind of an underwhelming big target in Mane. That's not to say I don't like the idea of Bayern going after Mane. I feel like if you're going to spend big money and try to get a player, then there's other options that you should go for. But all that to say, I think that there's a lot of reasons that people are disappointed with him. Not the least of which is that Hansi Flick left Bayern largely, if we are to believe all the reports and stuff, largely because that relationship wasn't working. And now it seems like that is starting to kind of happen again with Nagelsmann, who Salih Hamicic handpicked. And so it's like there's just all these things that are going in, and you can't separate the good from the bad, in terms of some people only want to look at all the bad things that are going on with what he's done while in his time, in his current role and all that. But there have been some positives. We've seen, you know, guys like Musiala emerge. We've seen, obviously, there has not been a Bundesliga title loss to this point. They won the treble. They won more than the treble. They won everything. So there's a lot of good as well. And it does seem like the youth movement, so to speak, coming up through the system, there are some good players there, although we haven't seen all of them or many of them reach the first team level. So all that rambling just to say, yeah, I think it has to be kind of a make or break summer for him, because we've seen what this Bayern club can achieve. And although there's new leadership with Heiner and Kahn, the main consistent thread running through the last several years has been Brazo, and there's a lot of dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And there has been a lot of dysfunction, and so this summer, with all the things up in the air right now, it's just got to be kind of make or break. I don't know that it will, because it does seem like the board is kind of behind him, but I mean, from a fan perspective, it's difficult to be Team Brazo if everything kind of falls apart this summer.
Tim, I got a question I'm going to come to you for in just a bit, before, because you've never shied away from criticizing Brazo, and that's mainly why. But before that, Sebastian, I guess I want to talk specifically about the transfer side of things with Salih Hamicic. Because he's kind of got a mixed bag of results when we talk about transfers, like Garrett pointed out. You've got guys like Alphonso Davies, who, you know, Brazo was almost single-handedly responsible for bringing to the club. Jamal Musiala, again, Brazo worked with the scouting department, brought him in. Leon Goretzka even came in on a free after Salih Hamicic took over. We haven't seen him play yet, but Nusair Mazraoui, I mean, Brazo went to him, convinced him, when it seemed like he was going to end up at Barcelona this summer. And then you have those mixed bag kind of signings, Leroy Sané, Lucas Hernandez, those big money signings, even Deo Upamecano can be thrown in there for now, that haven't necessarily proven their worth. And then you have guys like, you know, Fita Arp, Bonassar, you can even maybe throw Mark Roca in there, Mikael Quissons, who, no matter how you look at it, those guys just haven't worked out. And so it's really hard to rate, to see where he lands on the scale when you only look at transfers. So do you think that this summer could be the one where he really nails down that he knows what he's doing when it comes to the transfer market, when it comes to bringing players in and shipping players out?
Yeah, I think this is definitely a huge chance for him right now, and he's definitely already taken a couple of very good steps here, because this is going completely in the right direction, if you ask me, with those, let's say, three guys already coming in. I think this is completely the right direction, and each of those transfers is going to be something where people say, okay, great thing how he pulled that off, really. Even if not everybody will agree as to how bright Gravenberg's future is, not everybody will agree if Masraoui is the caliber that would immediately start for a Champions League contender, or even if some people say, ah, oh, Sadio Mane, he's already 29 or something, and is it worth that much money? But I think if we are going to be kind of objective here, there's nothing really to be said against those three transfers. And to be very honest, I think there are just not that many head scratchers in his resume so far there. You mentioned a couple of those kind of not so great transfers, but I really think it is not that bad, right? I mean, there are a couple, I think two, who are really kind of problematic, which I found a bit confusing why we did that. This is Bonassar, which was kind of a last-minute panic transfer, I would say, which also comes down in part to problems kind of backstage, like huge issues at the club between the important people. And I think we cannot really completely blame him for that. And the other one is Kissons, which I also didn't quite get, but it was not like completely outlandish for 10 million. And then if we look at all those others, I don't think you can really criticize him much there. Fiete Arp was a completely reasonable deal. It was clear that it might or might not work out. Completely fine. Roca, kind of the same thing. I don't think that transfer was a huge problem. Some people even go as far as mentioning Nianzou as kind of a problematic transfer, and I absolutely don't see that. And as you said, there's just a number of really very good transfers, and even the bad ones, even the ones that are kind of on the worst side, none of them was particularly costly or anything. The one that was kind of very expensive was the Hernandez transfer. But on the other hand, that was really one where everybody said, wow, Bayern managed to get the guy, and so on. So I really don't think that was all that bad of a transfer. Was it extremely good? Was it like brilliant work? Maybe not, but yeah, no, it was not a complete failure or anything. So this is the worst ones that we can mention here. And just if we look at the history of the club, and like if we look at kind of any football club ever, there are just usually more bad ones than I can see here. So there's, as you said, Davies is one, Goretzka is one, Musiala is one, especially how he has been involved with the transfers of the younger guys. The Sané transfer, I'm not happy with how Sané has been playing. I've been critical of Sané even before he came. But on the other hand, I was still impressed that he managed to get this transfer over the line for that price tag. So I really don't think it's all that reasonable to criticize Hassan for his transfers. I think many people do that, but that's just very cheap. You can, for any kind of, I would say, manager in German, but we know that's not what it is, but any kind of person doing the transfers for a club, with anybody, you can find one or two really bad transfers, and every time he gets a new guy in, you can say, haha, this is the next bonus R, or something like that. You can do that with everyone. I mean, look at Uli Hoeneß. Uli Hoeneß must have, like, maybe 100 of those complete misfires there. Jean-Pierre Papin, I don't know if anybody of you remembers that guy, for example. Or, I mean, I don't quite agree with Hoeneß on the whole Adolfo Valencia thing, but there's just a huge list of names you could bring up for Uli Hoeneß. And yeah, I think he's been looking pretty good there. And I think if he continues doing what he has been doing so far in this transfer window, this can definitely be a huge step in, really making sure that he's going to be at this club to stay and going to stay in this important role. The problem, really, is with the other stuff.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going to come to Tim for, because I agree with you, Sebastian. If we only look at the transfer side of things, I would go so far as to say, again, only looking at transfers, that Salihamidzic is doing a good job at Bayern, if not a really good job. Alphonso Davies, Leon Goretzka, Jamal Musiala alone. And when you look at those players and the fees that we paid, I mean, Alphonso Davies, Leon Goretzka, we don't win the treble, the last treble without them. It's as simple as that. So when you only look at those signings, he already comes out looking good. Sure, there's been some on the bad end, but like you said, they're really kind of minimal peripheral type of players. But with all that in mind, you know, he's still always under criticism. He's still always coming out not looking the best in the media. And so, Tim, you know, what's going on there? Why the hate? What is Salihamidzic doing wrong that keeps him under the spotlight if it's not the transfers?
It's not at all helped by just how public a job his job is. I think he is, for the most part, I'd say, the face of Bayern. Like, he's the guy that's it's kind of hard to describe, because obviously we know who Kahn is. I think most people know who Oliver Kahn is, but I don't feel like many people outside of like the Bayern fan base would be able to tell you who Heine is, for example. But everybody knows who Salihamidzic is. Also, the fact that he has like quite a strong presence in footballing history just generally. So I think I've mentioned before, somebody that I used to work with used to work for Juventus in a capacity. And he says that everybody there like loved Salihamidzic when he was a player. Like, he has his footprint firmly in the footballing world, and now he's doing it as the face of one of the biggest teams in the world. It's really not an easy job for him to do. I think with that, you do then have to ask the question, why was he given this role in the first place? Because yes, he does have the experience of playing in other leagues, and yes, Bayern have a good relationship with Juventus. Maybe you could suggest that part of that comes from his time there as a player, potentially. I don't know, maybe that's a little bit tenuous. But while he does have that, there wasn't really much to suggest that he has the requisite experience, or even qualifications, to effectively take on the role of a sporting director for a club as big as Bayern Munich. I think that's not helped. And yeah, there have definitely been successes. I think it would be disingenuous to suggest that there haven't been successes. But then you have to compare who he was coming in after. And granted, Matthäus Sammer isn't a Bayern legend. Like, I think of Matthäus Sammer as the Dortmund guy. Like, he was their manager, he was their player, and he's now like their consultant. The time that he spent at Bayern was probably amongst our most successful and like sustained successful period in recent history. Okay, you can go back to the 70s where we won 3 European Cups in a row, but in terms of recent success, when football is this gargantuan beast, Sammer was the guy that was responsible for. But, you know, he was the guy on the sideline next to Guardiola and next to Jupp Heynckes when he won the treble, when Bayern were at their most dominant. Okay, semi-finals didn't go the way that we wanted them to, but generally Bayern were always considered favourites. And I think that is something that really came to the front with Sammer. I think the sporting director role is something that a lot of people just kind of assume that they know exactly what needs to be done in order to be a successful sporting director. I do think the role is still up for debate quite a lot. I think there's a lot of uncertainty around it. But Salihamidzic is not helped by the impossibly high standard that was set by his predecessor. I think I'm maybe a little bit more critical than Sebastian is in terms of what Salihamidzic is doing, because I do think it is really good to say, you know, I think whether or not you think he's doing well or not, but Leroy Sané to Bayern from Man City is a really, really good deal. And the fact they managed to get it done for, was it like 45? I think it was like under 50 million euros. That's a fantastic bit of business. Like, okay, you can talk about the wage structure. That's kind of, I don't know to what extent that's Salihamidzic's business. I imagine it is like a fair bit. But generally, getting that player into the club is very impressive. And then in terms of getting Nagelsmann in, I think that was good as well. Again, you can maybe look at the money involved, but at the end of the day, in football, like, what is 30 million? Like, this number doesn't matter to so many people anymore. For a manager, it is still a lot. But then, given that, Nagelsmann paid some of the fee himself. So you then have to credit the guy for getting the player and for getting the manager that was prepared to make that sort of sacrifice to be at the club. I think for every positive, there's maybe 0.75 negatives. Like, in terms of the Rocker deal, I think it was good because we needed a defensive midfielder. It was bad because it's not worked out for whatever reason. I guess like looking at players like Mazraoui, I think that's good because we needed a right back. It's bad because we've needed a right back for about 6 years. Like, it's taken a while to get here, but he has got there. So I can give credit there. I think I will always look at that role as, I wonder what Sammer would have done differently. Like, would Mazraoui have been at the club before? Would we have got somebody like Jeremy Frimpong? Would we have got, you know, would Lahm have stayed even longer? Who knows? Like, would he have convinced Kimmich to stay at right back for another season or two? Like, it's one of those things where I'm always going to be comparing it to the guy that came before. And I think you can say the same thing about Nagelsmann and Flick and Kovac and Heinkes and Ancelotti and Guardiola. You're always going to be working on comparisons. I think just generally, like, my two cents on whether or not Salihamidzic is doing a good job. I think he's doing a good enough job, but at a team like Bayern, that's not good enough. I think he can offer more.
So good enough isn't enough. I don't want to say like,
yeah. I think you need to be aiming at like an 80%, and he's at a high 60s. I think he's at like a Lizarazu number. I don't want to say the number out loud, but I think long-term fans of the club will know what I'm talking about.
So he's hovering somewhere right around there, which may be a success at another place, but probably not so much at Bayern Munich. And so I think that it's only fair to, if we talk about that aspect of things, the question has to be asked, what can he do to improve? Like, what specifically needs, what does he need to do, not only this window, but just in general, what does Salihamidzic need to do at Bayern to be viewed in a more positive light, to be viewed as a successful sporting director, to pass that 80% threshold that Tim was just talking about. Garrett, any thoughts on that?
My only thought is that I think for him, he needs to show that him and Nagelsmann are in lockstep. I think that's been my bigger concern than the transfer stuff, is just been how his relationship been with managers. And Kovac, that was not a very good relationship there. Flick ended up being not a very good relationship. And Nagelsmann, we've heard some rumblings that there were some butting of heads, which is fine, if we didn't have that other data that said that previously he's butted heads with the manager. And so for me, I think that what everybody has said about, you know, the transfer stuff, I think is spot on. I think that you can't fully judge a guy by his transfer history alone. But I do think that making sure that they're getting the guys that Nagelsmann wants, which I haven't seen anything to say that says otherwise, as far as the targets that they're going after this summer. But I hope that we get these deals done that need to get done. I think they have to sell Lewandowski. We've talked about that more than enough. So if we can do that, and then we don't have to hear about how Nagelsmann is upset with Brazo about XYZ. Brazo thinks that Nagelsmann just needs to coach better, like that type of nonsense that I feel like we've been hearing for the last 3 or 4 years, just kind of change the coach's name. So that's for me. I'm not as big of a hater on Brazo as maybe it's made, like, I don't know if I've sounded like I am or not, but I think Tim's way of putting it was really good, that good enough is just not good enough, quite honestly, for a lot of Bayern fans. And so while I'm willing to support him because he's at Bayern and I want to see him succeed, I just want him to be the sporting director and not think that he's kind of taking care of the on the pitch stuff. That's Nagelsmann's job, and so I want everybody to do their job. That's right. Ultimately what I just want, you know, and I don't want it to start getting muddled who's doing what and who's making what decision.
That's a really good point, and something that I think we've talked about on here before, a year maybe two ago, when, you know, Heiner, Kahn, Brazo were all fairly new. There seemed to be a lot of confusion about who was doing what exactly, and maybe they've sort of started to iron that out, but maybe it needs a little bit more ironing out. But Tim, Sebastian, any thoughts from either of you on specific things that Salihamidzic could, maybe should do to be viewed more positively?
In my opinion, he should just focus a bit more on the things he does well and just take a step back on the things he's maybe not so great at, not force them as much, just like do an interview less sometimes, maybe think a bit more before you say something. Maybe actually, I don't know, get some coaching to work on some of that. Maybe that's no shame, right? You can, I mean, this club has a lot of money. Surely they can give him some kind of coach who's going to work on some communication skills, either specifically the media or with other people at the club there. That wouldn't hurt. Specifically, of course, I think a thing that has not been working well is keeping up the contact with the people with the players who are already at the club, right? We have seen people complaining about that. I mean, this is also what kind of Lewandowski complained about, for example. So I think there's definitely room for improvement there, and this is not particularly hard, actually. As I said, if the communication side of things in itself is the problem, that's something you can work out and just, well, keep the communication up with those players. Make sure you're on the same page, that the club and the player are on the same page as to what their future is going to look like, roughly what the players need, what they want. Just keep a connection there. That should not be too hard. And if that's not working out, well, maybe he doesn't have to do all that on his own. He's enough on his plate as it is. I really don't think he definitely has to do that all on his own. Maybe we can get some help there too, and then everybody can enjoy what he's doing good, and we can all be happy, I guess.
I actually agree almost like 100% with what you just said. I think that, you know, in terms of the transfer window, I have no, I guess, hesitations in holding high expectations for Salihamidzic. I think he's going to take care of it, but his public communication has got to improve. Like, it absolutely has to improve. And so whether that's, you know, he kind of takes a step back from the public spotlight and we let Oliver Kahn do a little bit more of that, I would be totally okay with that. Or if it's, like you said, just hiring somebody to help in that aspect, I think that would be great. And then, talking about keeping the players that we currently have happy, right? He's really good about bringing guys in. We also need to make sure that we're taking care of the guys that we do have, because Lewandowski's talked about it. Goran Dantaliso, in a much more respectful and less vitriolic way than Lewandowski, has also kind of mentioned not being totally pleased with the communication, with the way he was, maybe not the way he was treated, but I guess the communication and the way that, you know, they handled his exit and everything. Although he did that very respectfully, if anyone should have been mad, I think it could have been him. But even Serge Gnabry, I think that taking care of the guys that are already there is another big deal. And so those are the two things for me that really stand out as, okay, if he can tackle this, I'll be happy with Salihamidzic. But let's kind of, before we wrap up, transition away from talking about Brazzo and hit on a few just kind of minor talking points that have emerged this week. The first one is that Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting is apparently, the way that the report was worded is willing to leave the club. It didn't necessarily say he was actively trying to leave the club. However, kind of given the way everything's moving, that wouldn't be a big surprise, but it looks like he's willing to head to Qatar. Sebastian, what do you think about that? Should Choupo-Moting be looking toward the exit door? Do you think that it's time maybe for Joshua Zirkzee to come in and be, I don't even know what he would be. I was going to say be the backup, but we don't even know where we're going to land with the whole striker situation this summer. So Choupo-Moting, given the, I guess, craziness, should we be trying to keep him, or is letting him go the way to do it?
I think it's probably the right time for him. He has been exactly the right guy for us as a backup for Lewandowski. But right now, kind of our needs there are changing. We're not going to need a backup for Lewandowski anymore. We're going to need, ideally, some player with some room for development who can play probably more minutes than Choupo-Moting has played last season. So Zirkzee definitely is a guy I could see there. Of course, it all depends on, do we get Mane? Do we get someone else there who's leaving? Is Gnabry staying or not? These are the most important questions there. But I think there could be room for someone like Zirkzee there. If it's not Zirkzee, maybe it's Gabriel Vidovic or whatever, or that we're getting some other young guy in. So I think now is the time to give a younger guy a chance there, because you don't know where things are going. Maybe this window of opportunity is going to close eventually again if we don't do it right now. So I think this is the time to give a younger guy a shot. And he's obviously just, either he's going to be in the way of that, or he's not going to see any more minutes because the young guy is getting those minutes. So I think this is probably the right time.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Tim, Mark Rocha has been linked with a move to Leeds for about 10 million euros. Is there any reason, taking your personal preference towards Rocha aside, is there any reason for a deal like that not to go through?
Yeah, we don't have a defensive midfielder. he's like the only one. I realize that, you know, it's not worked out the way it could have done. I can't help but feel that every time he's played, he's been all right. Like, am I missing something? I don't think he's ever had, like, an absolute shocker. Every single time he was on the pitch, it seemed to be fine. He's not world class. Like, I don't think he'd describe himself as that. But he was serviceable. And he was serviceable in a way that Bayern absolutely needed, because he did the one thing that nobody else in that club can do. I don't know if Konrad Leimer is the solution. I guess, like, it's another maybe slightly more defensive minded box to box midfielder, but I'll be sad to see Mark Rocha go if it means that we don't have an actual defensive midfielder coming in. As I think maybe Gravenberch was the sort of person to potentially be a defensive midfielder when he was younger. I realize he's still already very young. I think like in his earlier days, that's kind of what he was doing. But I don't know, maybe there's room for like a Frankie de Jong situation. He can come in and that other guy can go to Barcelona and that would be nice. I don't know. But for the time being, I think Leeds will benefit from somebody like him next to Calvin Phillips, who's got that kind of tenacity to like run all over the place. Having somebody like Mark Rocker there to be stable and secure, I think they'll benefit from that. But at the same time, I'd quite like to see Bayern benefit from it. But I don't know. Maybe it will all work out. I'm against the transfer if we don't have somebody to come in as an actual defensive midfielder. But if there is somebody in place, Nicolas Dorsch perhaps, then best of luck to him. And thank you for all of the interviews that he gave, I guess.
You have to think if Roca goes, which seems more likely, that another defensive mid would be coming in. And so I think that that's kind of a given. But all I could think while you were talking at the beginning was that apparently good enough was not good enough for Mark Rocha either, just like it isn't good enough right now for Hasan Salihamidžić. But one more talking point, Garrett, I believe you brought this up in the chat earlier, but there have been some rumblings about Bonasosa joining Bayern Munich for about 25 million euros. Great player, obviously, but is he someone that Bayern need?
Definitely not a need per se, especially if you're thinking that Omar Richards is going to be better as a backup in his second year with the club than his first. That's another potential, you know, Brazo guy that is either going to come good or not. But I mean, when I first saw the rumor, I was all for it because, you know, what a player. But as we kind of chat with about it, it doesn't take long to start thinking, well, where exactly does he play? He's a player of a high caliber, so you're going to want to give him minutes. You're not going to sit Alphonso Davies for him. And it's unlikely that they're going to want to move Alphonso Davies up towards the front as a winger, especially with the other players that they have. It's hard to see that making much sense other than just trying to load up on really good players, which is fine. I think you might have some problems. But if he's willing to potentially do a lot of sitting this year and Bayern willing to pay for him, then I'd say go for it, because you never know when you're going to need a really good player like that, especially at the left back position. We've had some injuries there. But yeah, probably not a player that Bayern really need to go after.
All right. Well, I think that's probably going to wrap us up. If you've made it this far and you're wondering, when are these guys going to talk about Robert Lewandowski? Well, today we're not. We've talked enough about Robert Lewandowski for the time being, as it seems. And well, I was going to make some sort of reference to what he said about being on a podcast earlier this week, but I'm just going to leave that for what it is. We'll talk about Lewandowski when something arises that gives us something new to talk about. Until then, I think I'm just going to do what Tim did and keep referring to him as that other guy that wants to go to Barcelona. But if you've enjoyed listening today or you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a couple ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, and you can follow us over on Twitter @superbayernpod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify. We are recently just been added to Amazon Podcast, so check us out there. But wherever you listen to your podcast, we're probably going to be there. As always, thank you for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.